6 past 12 and 85 degrees in Santa Fe as At Noon continues from KSFR News on Tuesday, June 11th. Coming up this hour, the latest on the newest wildfire in the Pecos Wilderness. It hasn't grown as much as they had feared, at least yet. We'll speak with the chair of the Santa Fe Board of Education about plans to sue the state over the level of funding for schools. It's been so dry, you may wonder why the National Weather Service is talking about monsoon awareness. Turns out, it's largely about deadly lightning. And during the wildfire season, what does Santa Fe plan to do about 4th of July fireworks? I'm Bill Dupuy, back with those stories, 60 seconds with Christopher Hagan, and more after headlines.
The Horoso fire that erupted in the Pecos Wilderness after a lightning strike Monday afternoon is said to be at 360 acres. It's burning in steep terrain southeast of Chimayo. Fire officials expect high fire activity today as the area has hundreds of acres of downed trees felled in a strong wind incident some years ago. Meanwhile, good progress has been made in containing the Tres Lagunas fire near Pecos, with full suppression possible by this weekend. The 22,000-acre Thompson Ridge fire in the Jemez is now 50% contained with very little new growth. That said, all fire personnel remain on high alert as the National Weather Service office has issued red flag warnings through this evening, with gusty winds expected along with record-breaking high temperatures. The union representing nurses at Christa St. Vincent Hospital has taken a complaint to state regulators, alleging that the hospital has neglected patient safety by not providing enough nurses for the number of patients at the facility. Fonda Osborne is head of the nurses union and says they collected several years' worth of documentation to support their claim.
We're mad as hell, and we're not going to take it anymore. We want to let the agencies that are supposed to regulate the safety of hospitals and ensure that the health and safety of patients and hospital workers are protected, that the staffing at St. Christa St. Vincent Regional Medical Center needs to be looked at very closely.
UCLA Professor Jack Needleman told KSFR News his study of nurse staffing levels shows a direct connection with patient deaths.
By and large, it all comes to the same conclusion. Hospitals with lower staffing levels have higher rates of mortality for patients and higher risk of adverse events.
Officials at Christus have not responded to KSFR's request for comment. The state Supreme Court says judges can authorize search warrants over the telephone without actually seeing written requests. The decision overturned a lower court ruling that found a warrant was invalid because a local judge had approved it over the phone. The Las Cruces Sun News reports that the High Court recently amended its rules for district courts, allowing them to approve search warrants by remote methods, including telephone. The Inspector General for the nation's Energy Department says former Republican Congresswoman Heather Wilson may have received nearly $500,000 from the Los Alamos National Lab, Sandia Laboratories, and two other units when she was a consultant after leaving office. The IG's report says the labs offered no evidence that they actually got any value from the services Heather Wilson and her company provided. The report says the private companies that run the labs have reimbursed the government for the expenses. Wilson, as of this month, takes over as the new president of the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology. PNM says that some 1,900 customers in Albuquerque are still without power at this time after damaging winds brought power lines down last night. At least 11 major transmission lines snapped when winds estimated at 55 miles per hour and possibly higher moved across northeast Albuquerque around 9:30 p.m. At the outage's peak, some 10,700 customers were in the dark. The utility company says crews are scrambling to get everyone back online as soon as possible, as the Duke City faces high temperatures today of 100 degrees or more. The current estimate places restoral occurring by sometime early this evening. New Mexico's two U.S. senators are calling for federal agencies and local utility companies to work together to find ways to prevent wildfires from falling trees. Meanwhile, Public Regulation Commissioner Valerie Espinoza of Santa Fe is trying to establish a task force to tackle the issue. She's asking utility companies to work on their plans for clearing vegetation around power lines. A national hunger relief charity has published a report showing that New Mexico ranks number one for hungry children. It says a third of the state's children lack enough food to avoid being hungry. New Mexico ranks second in the nation for the number of adults who don't know where they'll get their next meal. New Mexico's Attorney General has issued an opinion that may prevent that proposed horse slaughtering facility down Roswell Way from operating, even if given all USDA approvals to do so. Gary King says that horse meat, fitting the legal definition of an adulterated food product under the New Mexico Food Act, may not be manufactured, sold, or delivered anywhere in New Mexico, regardless of where the food is ultimately sold or consumed. Routine veterinary medicines for horses fulfill the definition of adulterated. Valley Meat Company is waiting to clear final hurdles to begin processing horse meat for export. On Friday, June 14th, a new state law sponsored by State Representative Brian Egoff of Santa Fe takes effect regarding pay equity for women. The New Mexico Fair Pay for Women Act prohibits employers with four or more employees from discriminating between employees on the basis of sex. It requires equal pay, irrespective of gender, for all work performed under the same skill requirements and responsibilities. Weather for Santa Fe: both today and Wednesday promise more temperatures in the low 90s under sunny and dry skies. Temperatures cool slightly thereafter to the upper 80s, along with bringing slight chances for afternoon or evening thundershowers. Look for overnight lows throughout the period in the low 60s. For KSFR News, this is Dan Garrity.
It's a down day on Wall Street. Everything is off. The S&P 500, the NASDAQ both down. Dow Jones is down 105 points at 15,132. 12:13 on at noon from KSFR News. Santa Fe's Board of Education has set its budget for the coming year, and among all the items in it is $100,000 for legal fees. They're making plans to sue the state over the level of funding for schools. I asked Board President Lynn Trujillo for details on the issue.
Well, we don't have enough funds to properly educate the kids the way the education they deserve to have. We can't pay our teachers properly. We don't have the funding for the smaller classrooms. We definitely need to have more funding to be able to adequately educate our children.
And your rationale is that the state constitution promises adequate funding for schools?
Yes, it does. It requires that the legislature sufficiently fund education, free public education for all students.
So the word sufficiently is where the whole issue hinges.
That is correct. That is correct. And there are many other states who have taken up this issue, so we're not alone in this. And it's gone positive in some cases, and it hasn't worked out in others. But we believe that there's research, a study that was done back in 2008, was actually commissioned, I believe, by the LFC for the legislature. And it, back in 2008, showed that at that time we were not sufficiently funding education. And as you know, our budget has gone nothing but backwards since that time. So clearly we're not sufficiently funding it now.
We have been following the budget issue carefully. Mm-hmm. What do you see as the most insufficient area? Is it teacher pay? Is it classroom instruction? What?
Well, that's kind of a loaded question. But certainly, we have decided as a district that teacher pay is a priority for us. When we look at all of the pay in schools around, states around New Mexico, not even going, back east or out west, but just in states that are around New Mexico, we're really at the bottom of the list. And when you look at the research as to what states are actually performing, where kids are performing in science, where they're performing in math, where they're reading at grade level, those states have invested high dollars into their education. And those high dollars result in, like I said, better paid teachers, quality teachers who maybe even want to move to New Mexico to teach our children, and smaller classrooms.
What you call insufficient funding is probably not a new thing in New Mexico. Do you agree?
I do agree. I think we were on a roll. You know, we were moving forward, and of course the recession hit like it hit with everybody else. But we have a commitment, and we've got to make a decision. In the long run, my position and the position that the board has taken is that not only is education the right thing for our kids because it gives them opportunities for their careers in the future, but it's the right thing for New Mexico because it will, in fact, be one of the highest indicators that would bring a business to New Mexico, that would encourage people to open up businesses to have qualified, educated employees.
Are you still looking for other school districts to play a role in this?
We are. We're reaching out to other districts. We're reaching out to other organizations, the unions, and we're making a really concerted effort to get other districts on board with this. This is not about, figuring out a new way to divide the pie. In other words, we're not pitting ourselves against other districts. We believe that this is right for all of the students of New Mexico. This is about growing the pie, not dividing it differently.
What have you heard from other districts so far?
Well, we're kind of just in the preliminary stage, but we seem to be getting some pretty good, folks are in support of what we're doing. At this time, we can't really speak about who particularly or who's going to be in this with us until we get, confirmations. But the first thing that we're going to do here in the next couple of weeks is as a board, we're going to adopt a resolution. So that's our next step, is to adopt a resolution, and then we'll take that resolution and we'll begin asking, we'll pass it on to the other districts that we've spoken with, and we'll ask them to begin adopting that too.
And that'll be coming up at the next meeting?
It's not going to be at the next meeting next week, but it will be here at the next meeting after that. We're working on the language for the resolution at this time.
We'll follow that carefully. School Board President
right.
Linda Trujillo, many thanks.
Thank you.
12:19 on At Noon from KSFR News. Wildfire season is here. It has everyone looking out for possible new sources of ignition that could spark a deadly blaze. One of those is fireworks. That's a topic of discussion with the approaching 4th of July. Farmington officials are discussing a fireworks ban, as Las Cruces did a few days ago. Turns out that outright bans on all fireworks are prohibited under state law. Instead, limited restrictions can be enacted in 30-day increments. Santa Fe's Fire Marshal Ray Gonzalez has recommended that for Santa Fe.
Well, currently, we have put the ban in place since June 11th. However, the way the ordinance reads, we have to revisit it every 30 days. So that's the intent of City Council. And on the ban restrictions, we're only allowing the safe and sane fireworks to be purchased and utilized.
Gonzalez says hands of officials are tied in denying all use of fireworks.
It's been going through the state legislation for the last 2 years, and we've attempted to get the state to be able to invoke a complete ban on fireworks. However, due to certain reasons that I can't explain, they have not been able to permit that. So without being able to close down the fireworks stands just in our jurisdiction, we would have no way of enforcing them coming in from other agencies or other jurisdictions. And therefore, it's almost impossible to do a complete ban.
Only fireworks that fall under categorization of safe and sane will be allowed.
What falls under the safe and sane fireworks are anything that's less than 15 feet in height from the ground. We do allow the snakes and the smoking devices, the spray balls, and the illuminating torches, anything that's within below 15 feet.
Gonzalez says fire officials will be trying to get the word out on safety as the 4th approaches.
We have been putting out several media releases stating that they should have be accompanied by adult, that they should have some kind of extinguishing agent present. Similar messages and notes like that are also going out on the local papers and the local radios.
The fire marshal also says they'll investigate complaints and issue citations if necessary.
We will go to any complaint responded, called in, and we do have extra manning on the 4th of July evening, and we're doing close patrols to all the neighborhoods. We do follow up on every single complaint. We are able to do violations and citations, and then you have to appear in court, and it's up to $500 and or 90 days in jail.
Santa Fe Fire Marshal Ray Gonzalez. The southwestern monsoon season is a window on the calendar between the middle of June and the end of September. This week, the National Weather Service office in Albuquerque is conducting its annual monsoon awareness. It's about the dangers the season can bring. Kerry Jones at the Weather Service is on the line. First off, Kerry Jones, why the need for monsoon awareness?
Well, if you look at our statistics, and let me just talk about lightning here, our total number of injuries and deaths related to lightning have decreased substantially since the late 80s and early 90s. And we think that that's due in large part to the fact that residents of our great state are much more aware of lightning dangers and so forth. And so we do these awareness weeks, you know, specifically as you described, a season that would include an increase in thunderstorm, you know, activity, at least the occurrence of thunderstorms, and with thunderstorms, lightning, and in some cases, flash floods, downburst winds. And even now, as we saw last week, these New Mexico versions of haboobs, and haboobs are those walls of dust that are created by outflow from thunderstorms that may or may not be especially strong from a wind standpoint, but in terms of impacts with the blowing dust and reduced visibilities, a tremendous hazard if you're out traveling on the roads and you're suddenly, you know, encounter one of these walls of dust in eastern plains. And so it's really these awareness weeks, although it seems, you know, every year it's the same old information regurgitated, we think it makes a difference. And we think that, you know, it's saving lives, you know, year by year with just the increased awareness.
Summertime is a great time to be outside, of course, but often a thunderstorm will appear off on the horizon. It may seem far away, and people think they have a lot of time before they need to seek shelter, but there is a danger from what's been described as a sudden bolt out of the blue, right?
Yes, very important, and it is a bolt from the blue, and the reason for that is that lightning can occur from the anvils of thunderstorms, and we've seen that here just recently, this last week. Those lightning strikes, we categorize lightning both in terms of a negative strike and a positive strike. Negative strike lowers negative charge to ground. A positive lightning strike lowers positive charge to the ground. Positive strikes are overwhelmingly associated with the anvil region of a thunderstorm. Anvils are 30 to perhaps 40, 45,000 feet above ground. And as we all know from viewing a thunderstorm, as it rises and that anvil spreads out great distances. And so we could have a lightning strike from the portion of the anvil to the ground that could be well away from where the main rain area of the thunderstorm is located. It's been documented 10 or 15 miles away from where the rain is falling that you can have these positive lightning strikes from the anvil. But some research from our good friends at Langmuir Labs down near in Socorro have actually documented cases of 20, 25, 30 miles.
There are a number of atmospheric patterns that have to fall into place before any monsoon arrives in earnest. Here on the calendar, do you and your colleagues see any of those factors setting up?
I think we do see something that resembles a setup as we get into this coming weekend and early next week. And that general setup is the subtropical high, often referred to as the Bermuda High, that resides over the Gulf of Mexico and the southeastern U.S. That begins to establish itself. and kind of ebbs and flows, typically stays to the east of New Mexico. As we get deeper into our summertime, we're still a little bit early to be tapping that very deep tropical moisture that starts to build over central areas of Mexico and then starts to build towards the borderland region. Late June is typically when we see that start to develop that I talked about. Typically for Albuquerque, Santa Fe, you know, July 7th is kind of a good date. Anywhere between July 4th and July 10th is when we expect to see the first good increase in moisture. And it happened last year. You may recall that we had a good, decent surge right during that window. And we were hopeful, and then everything, of course, went south from there. But that's kind of the window that we look for.
Kerry Jones of the National Weather Service, we have our fingers crossed. 12:27 on At Noon. The U.S. Senate has begun debate on that immigration bill that's been in discussion for some time. The bill would authorize billions in spending for border security and create new visa programs for skilled workers, as well as create a pathway to citizenship for some 11 million undocumented workers. President Obama took to the cameras as the debate began.
Right now, our immigration system has no credible way of dealing with the 11 million men and women who are in this country illegally. And yes, they broke the rules. They didn't wait their turn. They shouldn't be let off easy. They shouldn't be allowed to game the system. But at the same time, the vast majority of these individuals aren't looking for any trouble. They're just looking to provide for their families, contribute to their communities. They're our neighbors. We know their kids. Too often they're forced to do what they do in a shadow economy where shady employers can exploit them by paying less than the minimum wage, making them work without overtime, not giving them any benefits. That pushes down standards for all workers. It's bad for everybody. Because all the businesses that do play by the rules, that hire people legally, that pay them fairly, they're at a competitive disadvantage. American workers end up being at a competitive disadvantage. It's not fair, but that's the broken system that we have today.
Republican Senator Jeff Sessions led the opposition on the floor of the Senate.
Because you had special interest on top of riding this big monstrosity. They were there. They wanted their deal. And I would say to my colleagues, when you say, those in the Gang of Eight, and I know they want to do the right thing and have worked hard, but they got off on the wrong track. The papers reported for weeks. Well, the unions are here, and the Chamber of Commerce is here, and the ag workers and ag industry people are here, and they want more workers for this, and this one's demanding more workers for that. And our senators are over here somehow letting them all hammer it out. And that's how this writing comes up. That's how it came from them. The senators didn't write this. They knew exactly what they were doing. They were putting in numbers to get certain workers that businesses wanted so they can have more employees and they can keep wages down. That was what the scheme was. More workers, less competition for labor, loose labor market, less pay raises, less overtime, less benefits, because the employer has options.
On the floor of the U.S. Senate, it's 86 degrees in Santa Fe, and we've stopped wondering what to do with this extra 60 seconds. We'll give it to this guy.
There I was doing what I do best, vegging in front of the TV, not really conscious of what I was watching, so I started channel surfing. Then I came across an infomercial that was featuring and addressing issues to do with health, wellness, and overall taking care of your body. It was mesmerizing, especially with the good-looking women with the incredibly chiseled bodies stunningly displayed in two-piece gym clothes, low-cut shorts, and basically a sports bra. I think there were some guys there in the mix looking unnaturally ripped, and somewhere, somehow, the thought came into my mind, probably beamed into my head from some planet spinning in a galaxy light years away by aliens with a perverted sense of humor. The thought came into my mind, I can look like that, like the boys, not the girls, And then I saw the exercises involved with the insanity workout and realized that's how my thinking was. Insane. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.